that this is only a few of the actresses for web users. And there's a lot of translations.
This is good. This picture is not quite a representative.
Not very helpful to explain,
right, so,
this.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, there are a lot of things happening, right? There's a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
And
the interesting thing is the valleys here correspond to the valleys here in
right.
the hit rate.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? It's all of these valleys that correspond to
yep.
the valleys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually...
So this one is actually correspond to that one, right? To a certain extent. Because you're looking at hit rate in order to
yeah.
determine the state.
Yeah.
Right? So no wonder that you will see the transitions. And this picture doesn't really reveal much.
That's true.
Yeah. That one doesn't show much.
Yeah. Whereas here, there is a, you know, from a... The one thing which we were noticing earlier is that whenever there is a valley in the hit rate plot, there's also a valley in the state transition plot.
Yeah.
Right, and that's if we go down to really low hit rates, we go into the unique access state.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because we believe that we're scanning at that time.
Hmm. But when we transition to low hit rate, could also be unstable, right? So at first go into unstable, and then if the hit rate doesn't improve, then you conclude your unique access.
I think we also determine unstable versus unique access by the fact that we'll have hits in the ghost list.
Mm.
Using the count of hits in the ghost list, we can determine if even the items that we're filtering out, if they're being reused,
right?
Still, then we can say that we're not in a unique access; we're just in an unstable state.
Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting to look at the ghost hit rate as well. Is it there?
No, this is
on.
So the interval you're getting this is, so basically this is the interval, right?
No,
you can see
that the interval is a little bit smaller. You can see that one really small,
this
one's a unique access, like that, yeah.
Huh?
Like that one or the one further to the right.
Okay.
That can show you the actual interval.
Same thing with here, right? So it's just, you know, this is the...
So this is
the granularity.
Yeah. It's okay. Gideon will also be sharing.
I'll see him there. Good chair.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good thing is that Mark hit rate is mostly better than Arc, which is nice. And we show that actually all of those improvements are corresponding to the stable state. Stable state is where we turn the Lark filter off.
Yes, exactly.
So it goes up like this, right? It's in the stable. And this is in the stable, right? It's a stable.
Yeah,
there's
it
no
continues
state
to be in stable, but then it comes down.
And so
yeah,
the
like
hit
this.
Rate comes down. What's the reason for that?
Why doesn't it stay up there?
Well, the state stay up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that
the hit rate doesn't stay up there.
Well, I mean, it's all about whatever pages are being accessed. If during that time there are pages that are new that we haven't seen before, or that weren't even in the, or they're in the ghost list, we're going to have misses on that no matter what, same with Arc. So they might just be unavoidable.
The stable state turns on the Lark filters.
Yeah.
So you could have hits in the ghost list and
possible population then of the cache by those pages. But it actually doesn't really look like that's what's going on
here. Because if that were true, then Arc would do better.
Or
because
Arg would have it, and you have a miss the first time, and if we see it again, then have the hit, most likely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can see that it overlaps with Arc, so there's a possibility that it's just unique accesses that are...
Maybe there is pages that are being accessed there that are not in the working set. They're not in the cacheable working set.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that you're accessing them, Arc is also missing on them because it's churning, and we're also missing on them because we don't have them cached. So it can be the behavior in which we access a set of pages from our working set, that's why we spike, and then we access the other pages that are in the working set but that are not cacheable.
Mm-hmm. And they're oscillating?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened here, right? So
mm-hmm.
the moment you're in the same state, actually. So, yeah.
Here, it would be good to, I mean, if you want to show this plot in the paper, to explain this plot, if we had that additional data about which items are being accessed somehow, and that's like a really challenging thing to show in a plot.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of a timeline, and these are averages, right? Each point is an average across a certain time period.
Jumping
window,
basically the cache size.
This is the cache size, and this is a jumping window state transition. Although there are no state transitions here, but the hit rates are reported only sporadically here.
Yeah.
So basically, each point is a sample.
Each point is a sample, and
it's the
hit rate during that period.
Yes.
So what I see that all the at the time when in the stable state, we get the best result, right? So whenever we get a stable state, that's the good ones,
mm-hmm.
right? So all these places, right?
Yeah.
All these places, places.
Yeah.
When we get unstable, things might actually be bad. And we're not, the art is going to beat the mark, right?
But
if you are a unique access state. You look at this.
But that just comes from Arc always caching whatever pages it sees. We react based off of what we predict will be the behavior in the future. Sometimes it's not accurate, but that's really what explains
what I meant is, say if we do away with unique access, so we don't have that state.
Mm.
Wouldn't that be better?
Depends if the underlying caching algorithm is able to resist scans the way that Arc does.
Yeah. So, yes. So the problem with that is that we don't have a condition that will help us save writes during the unique access states.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason it exists. So if we don't have that, we optimize on hit rate. But we are not saving on writes in unique access states. So in this case, it doesn't look as bad because we have long periods of stability. You can see that there's long periods in which the line is straight. But if we have other types of workloads in which there are much more places in which the unique goes up and the active stays the same,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to have issues.
So, Stephen, this hit rate plot, if you plot a moving average of hit rate instead of the sporadic where you see like these jagged lines, it's a more continuous line of hit rate.
He was saying this is because of the workload, right?
Yes. So, there are different ways of interpreting what's happening, right? The one thing is that depending on the cache size, which I don't know what the
0.05. Yeah.
0.05, so it's like, so 10%.
Of about
19,000?
140,000?
And 9,000. That's 180,000, right? Yeah.
Well, no. But the line doesn't reach the top. The line kind of evens out at about 140,000.
Yeah, but for this workload, it was higher later on in the workload. This is just a close-up.
Right?
It was like 90,000, so like 8,500, something like that.
Yeah.
So, So in this case, we do see that our workload is doing what we want to do, right? When we are incrementing the number of unique accesses, so across the workload, as you see it, those slopes, the one that have steep slopes, I mean, those count as a unique access state,
mm-hmm.
for sure,
mm-hmm.
and we're getting in them, which I think it's a good behavior, because we have a cache size that is 8,500, and we have a lot of accesses that are not in the working set anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that behavior in a regular cache like ARC will generate a lot of misses.
So yeah, so that in that case it's worthwhile to really have a snapshot of that, because in this particular picture the unique access is actually in the unique access state is not good, right?
But
yeah.
We're not optimizing on here really in the unique access state. That's what we have to argue, that we're
right.
optimizing.
So you would have to have another set of data to show that there's. Because this picture is important.
You mean the
this,
write rate?
This right, yeah.
If you have the write rate,
exactly.
To complement this.
Yeah. Oh, we can do yeah, like something the same with instead of hit rate, write rate.
So we can say that the different state is optimized for
different things,
right?
Sure.
Because ARC cannot do significantly better than MARC in the unique access state in terms of hit rate, but
mm-hmm.
we can do significantly better in terms of write rate.
There you go. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Okay. So we can.
These hit rates are sample hit rates or they're cumulative?
Sample across the.
But you're comparing these values to the cumulative one in order to decide changing the state, right?
Yes.
Would it be good to show that also here in the same plot? Because that'll tell you why you're transitioning, right?
True. True.
Yeah, so that's sort of a check with the logic, right? So whether that's
so this one is the jumping window version, right?
Yes.
Are we running moving window versions at all? Did we ever run?
That's why they're jagged.
Or did they not provide us any benefit at all?
When we are testing, it didn't really show any benefit.
So for a static moving windows, it didn't show benefit for sizes smaller than the size of the cache. And when we compare the one that's moving window, the size of the cache with the jumping window does a bit better. So moving windows does improve hit rate when it's smaller cache sizes, but it also increments the write rate.
I see.
So we don't know what's the benefit, the total benefit. So it will be an interesting experiment to do with latency when we are able to accurately measure latency, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we will know exactly which one is better, right? We have only one unit of measure and we compare that across algorithms and that's it, right?
Right. Here also, I mean, what will happen if you have a moving window and you plot hit rate is all of these jagged lines would get smoothed out. So you won't see this jagged behavior of hit rate. No?
Yeah. Depends on the slopes. Simply
Excuse
because our hit rate
search.
Would go up at... it could still be very much jagged depending on how many hits we have. In that particular spot, and how
but the changes because you're moving
slow.
Only by one, the changes cannot
it can
be
slower, and it might show more definition. But you still have the possibility of jagged edges like that if we go from a very high hit rate to a lower hit rate.
No, but it can only change by one. I mean, mean, I'm going back to the argument you were making a long time back, that when you slide the window by one,
it'll only go up or down by one
over the size of the window.
Or stay the same.
Yeah. So it cannot, you cannot see the jagged edges anymore. You will not see the jagged edges.
It depends on the definition of the size of the sample.
Oh, yeah. The sample size would be the same.
So it'd be moving by a maximum slope of one over the cache size in this situation.
It's a small thing. It won't move like this.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Also, is there any reason why for these changes to unique? The others, at least, there seems to be a
large
device
drop
in
the
unique.
Hit rate.
Yeah, these are correlated. These are correlated to these drops. If you see all the valleys here, they correspond. Most of them correspond to valleys here as well.
So I think maybe we need four windows. I think the first one is, I treat that as useless. It's good to know that there is a phase period, but that has nothing to do with triggering the state changes.
Well, it's not entirely useless, because if you see the stable state here corresponds to flat lines here. See, the flat lines is mostly stable. This which is unstable is where it goes down to the unstable and unique axis. So in that sense, I think there is some use.
But it's limited, should I say. So I would say that the first window used the what was that, triggering the state changes. So you can explain by actually looking at the first window showing the, what was that?
The coarse grain trend, I think.
Yeah, so whatever that you used for making the decisions to do the state transition, that's the one. And then you show the state transition.
Actually, this will not tell you the state, because it's not fine resolution enough, right? Because there's a lot of state transitions happening.
There's nothing that it can, yeah.
So this doesn't tell you that. What it does tell you is that if you integrate these curves, right, then you will see that all of this will flatten out into one, this may flatten out into one, and this would flatten out into one, and those would correspond to these flat areas, although there are minor changes.
Yeah,
right? So the coarse grain,
yeah,
it explains coarse grain trend, but it doesn't explain all the state transitions. That is explained mostly by the hit rate, right?
Well, it doesn't explain all the state transitions, because there is a... The frequency of access is not included in that. So the frequency of access within the working set may change, and that's what causes those changes.
So what I'm saying is using the mechanism, whatever you use for showing, you know, why the state is actually changed that way, as the first plot. And the state, and then you have hit rate, you have right percent, whatever. And that shows different areas and different benefits that you gain from.
Is there a single metric that can tell us more easily about this state transitions? Something like difference between sample hit rate and state hit rate, something like that.
Is that it shouldn't, because the algorithm is going to be adaptive, so. We don't know the state of the parameters.
Then it's more like difference between sample and state divided by state hit rate. I mean the fractional difference of.
That's gonna give you a. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out if we can even come up with a metric that will explain these state transitions. Or they'll correlate better with the state transitions. I mean, the hit rate is good. I think it's better than nothing. But what Giri was referring to earlier is there a way to have more data to show clearly that, okay, that's the reason why you have all these state transitions? That will maybe point us to a more advanced metric that we could potentially use in the algorithm. But you're saying that it may not be.
I mean, when we have the adaptive, we don't know I mean, we said, okay, so for example, if the parameters are static, we say like, oh, in here is obvious why we changed the stable state, because it was 10% the difference. So we can see.
But ultimately, your algorithm checks whether some quantity is greater than some other quantity.
Right.
So you could either take the difference or the ratio of these in plot. And that could give you some sense of how it's changing along the time axis. Not just to explain either ratio or difference, whichever makes sense. Since you're dealing with percentages, maybe ratio makes more sense. But it's not just a matter of explaining when the transitions take place. I think it's also to understand what is happening during the rest of the period. One other thing that I may have mentioned earlier is also to look at what decisions your algorithm makes for the things that get evicted. So remind me again, stable is when ARC is turned off, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Stable, a LARC is on, though.
LARC is on.
LARC is on, which means that there is a ghost list, and if there are hits there, then they will enter the cache.
And unstable is when...
Unstable is when you just use ARC.
You just use ARC. Anyway, either one doesn't matter.
The unique access is when everything is off.
Yeah.
So there are actually two things that dictate whether this algorithm will do well or not. One is when you're turning on or off, which is really what the paper is focusing on. It makes sense. But there's also what item gets thrown out. And you can look at the quality of that item by figuring out how far ahead it's going to be accessed again.
Sure.
And maybe doing an average of this over a span, over a moving window, and this could give you some sense of whether you're making better decisions than ARC, for instance, on what goes out.
Mm.
It may give you yet another view of how it will,
because there are stable periods where ARC is churning
it may highlight something else that we don't completely understand at this point.
Hmm. Yeah, more quantitatively, what we are talking about intuitively.
Because that's what is going to affect your misses. Those are the decisions that could have been improved upon in order to get a better hit rate.
Right.
The others where there's no chance of improving, they're not going to really affect, even opt could not have improved upon those.
So I think most importantly, we need another plot for the write rate. Similar timeline. I think that's doable, right?
Yeah, that's doable, and it will show the benefit of the unique access state.
Right.
That will be the objective.
That will be the main objective. Because here we are seeing that unique access state... Well,
unique access and stable, actually.
And stable, too.
Right, because stable, we have better hit rate and we're not caching.
Yeah.
But even write rate is going to be over a window?
We can do it over a window, yeah. Why not?
So, just
do you have to run the simulation all over again, or...
Uh-huh.
Yes. To run the simulations again?
Yeah.
But it's just one workload, so...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So just follow Theory's idea here. We can actually show the quality of the cache items, rather than just evasion. Evasion is the mechanism of your algorithm. We can just simply show at the current, all the cache items.
I think the hit rate is a mechanism to show that, because if your quality is better, the hit rate would be higher.
There you go. So we just show that over time.
That's what we're showing here, right?
No, it's not the hit, right?
This is the hit rate.
Yeah, the hit rate. That does not necessarily actually correspond to the hit rate.
The quality of the items that you have cached?
Yeah.
Of course it does, right? If it's good quality, the hit rate is going to improve. Because items are
if you average the reuse time, which is, I assume that's what you're saying. If you average what do you call that, reuse time?
Reuse distance.
Reuse distance for all the items in the cache. This is a much finer grain measure of the quality.
That's also true. I mean, there may be stuff outside the cache that has better quality than the things in the cache.
Yeah.
Because we don't completely take into account frequency to cache, which is the new idea that I had.
I think that's complementary to looking at the evicted items. So yeah, this would also be a reasonable idea.
Yeah.
A single number.
Yeah.
Across over time. That how your cache quality actually changes over time, right?
Yeah. And you can, for instance, do that with opt outs and figure out what is your limit in some sense.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good point.
So it would be something like the measure of.
You could put that into.
Like,
so
the average resistance over the cache size.
At any given time, you can compute this.
Yes.
Right? If you know the future. You look at the contents of the cache, you look at what the reuse distances are and simply average. Anyway, if you run opt before, you can incorporate that data into the algorithm just to see how it's going. You'd have to run it again.
And also that is an indication of the changes in the state. Also, I mean, if you have sudden drop or something that your cache quality start to dip,
that's something to focus on.
That's something to focus on. That
fine tune the algorithm.
Or already being sort of that you have in the unique access state, right? So why is it in the unique access state? Because the quality is actually become so low. And, right?
Actually, that's a nice metric. I think the cache quality, which is we say cache quality is the average reuse distance of all items in the cache at any given time.
Yeah. So if you divide that by the size of the cache?
No, you don't divide it by the size of the cache. You just average items, the reuse distance of items in the cache. What you could divide it by is the cache quality of OPD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So OPD is 1, is always 1, cache quality. Then any other algorithm is going to be either 1 or lower.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Don't do that first.
Don't
because
divide
when you do that first, that actually, because when you get to the valley of the OPD,
yeah,
is not doing well, you don't see it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
you should
show both OPD line as well as
the
cache quality of OPD. And then
just some absolute value or something, maybe relative to the cache size, actually.
But OPD is going to look better always, right?
Yeah. I mean, average reuse distance of OPT is going to be lower. So the question is, how do you define cache quality? If you want quality to be better if the average reuse distance is lower.
So
that's fine. Just inverse that everybody can think it.
Inverse of average reuse distance?
It's still, you don't need to inverse it. You just need to say, well, that's the badness.
I don't know what it is. No, well, the closest that we are to 1, the better, right? It's like percentage of
so that would be
quality, right?
Yeah.
It would be like, we're 90%
recall.
Efficient.
Recall.
So opt reuse distance is lower, presumably.
Yeah,
you can call it something like a cache.
It has to be.
Delete.
Yeah.
That's not necessary.
Average reuse distance of OPT has to be lower than average reuse, or lower or equal to than any other caching.
Right. Don't call it quality. Call it a recall. Recall.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know what it is. Some metric is just, we understand it better.
No, I think if we have a metric that's easier for the reader to understand.
Yeah.
Right? Cache quality. Higher is better. Dumb it down.
Okay, so
I think we need
to
dumb
be
it
higher
down.
Than you want.
Don't underestimate the intelligence of the reader.
I'm not underestimating at all. I know exactly how I read papers.
The problem with that statistic is that if you have one page that is never going to be reused, that has infinite distance,
yeah,
the average becomes infinite, negating all the information that we have in the cache of everything else.
I
don't know how
you
we can change
you,
that.
No, you can actually find a threshold.
Do it for all the items for which that are
not infinite.
I think we should
not even,
we cannot do that.
We don't have normalization.
Right.
So, or you use cache size as a boundary.
That's the maximum.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the maximum. If you go there. So if the worst case is all the items have exactly the cache size, that's the worst, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that's, you can invert that, by the way.
Yeah.
You would know the maximum.
N plus one.
Plus one.
Cache size
plus
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Square, right? Oh, you average. You're doing average, right? So you're doing average.
Do you need plus one or not?
You need plus one because there are items there that are cache size away, right?
But it doesn't give you any... Wait, still... Reach distance, are we talking unique or just direct?
Unique.
Oh.
So...
No?
Calculation time period can be in the weeks depending on the trace, so... Yeah.
Now, if you have a cache, if you only look for...
No, we can do it for a small trace. We can do it for a small trace, but I'm just saying that if we're going to be doing this, can't do it on anything big.
Well, that's for a supercomputer.
Anyway, we are not going to use that in our algorithm.
It has to be more than
just analysis.
Yeah, analysis consistent.
This is a good fragment that you...
It's an estimate.
Yeah, right?
It's a good fragment.
But
sure, it was not easy to find it.
It's the one that you suggested.
It's an estimate because you only look at
you suggested it.
So, as a matter of fact.
So you said, like, maybe the first million answers in one picture.
Oh,
you
just got lucky.
Access is only
an
indication. It's only an approximation.
I don't have a problem with the concept, but it's the implementation that I'm still thinking about. Yeah, it's not clear if n plus 1 is right either.
It all depends on whether it's unique reuse distance or simple reuse distance.
We have now two measures. How many unique items you have sitting in the cache, and for the other...
It should be unique reuse
distance.
Yeah, should be unique reuse distance bounded at most by cache size plus one. I think that's a reasonable...
It shouldn't be unique reuse distance. It should be...
I'm saying that...
By unique reuse distance, it should be like... You read a page.
Yeah.
You sit on the cache.
Hmm.
Yes. Okay, so we cannot count this as plus one. That should be the reuse distance.
No, I just think that the quality really has two measures.
Because
you mean the upper bound? Are you talking about upper bound?
I mean, you don't count the pages that are in the cache. That's the pages that you shouldn't count. If you have an access that is already in the cache, then that doesn't count for an eviction or the reuse distance because...
Yeah, so that's what it's unique, right? Oh.
But unique is new pages, right?
Unique is every time you see a new page, then you add it to the reuse distance.
Right. But not an entirely new page in the working set. It's a page that is not in the cache.
Yeah, not in the set of items that you've seen. So an item X gets accessed. Starting from that point, you find where X gets accessed again. And there are a bunch of items that are accessed in between.
Mm-hmm.
X at time T and X at time
exactly,
T.
Exactly, the number of unique.
And then you look at only the unique ones in between.
Yeah. Well, the unique, what I mean is that those items, a set of those items may be in the cache.
At time T?
During that period that you're checking. So.
Oh, but then you're looking at the state.
You're
taking into account the state prior to T.
Exactly.
But if you assume that the cache is empty at time T.
Oh, yeah. If you assume that the cache
that's
is
what
empty.
Unique reuse distance assumes.
So I would suggest that don't go too far with this. This is just an estimation of a very crude matter. And it's just showing that there are the peaks and valleys in there, and the algorithm sort of track that kind of that.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't have to be accurate. Doesn't have to be if it's just reuse distance. Actually, that will be a quantity that actually can give you some information, right? So
I think what we need. I think it would be good to have a cache quality measure, right? And the cache quality measure is actually an indication of average hit rate. If you take the integration of that cache quality curve, it should correlate with your average hit rate over the entire duration.
Yeah.
Right? If the cache quality, even though Arc may do better than Mark within a window, the cache quality for Mark would still be higher. Because Mark maintains items that are useful later as well, more efficiently. And it did better earlier, so all of those improved cache quality. So if we take cache quality and do an integral curve, what I am expecting is that Mark will mostly be higher than Arc, given this data. So we could do it. We could do an integral curve or an instantaneous curve. Either way. I think the instantaneous curve will help show things like, okay, when there is a unique access, then the cache quality drops.
Now, because of this issue with reuse distance being infinite for things that are not going to be accessed again, maybe this measure really has sort of two dimensions. One is how many items are not going to be reused again that are sitting in the cache, and for the others, what is the average reuse distance?
Why do you want to go?
Yeah,
that?
But I mean, yeah, that's
just making it more complicated.
Yeah,
I agree.
So we should just bound the infinite distances by n plus 1.
But your reuse distance can be more than n.
It won't be. It could be infinite.
No, but it could be. Could be that, for instance, in Arc, you have things that are sitting in T2 that are going to sit there for a long time, much longer, in fact, because maybe a scan is going through in T1 and throwing things away. So its reuse distance might actually be more than the cache size. Yet the fact that it's sitting there is significant.
But then the cache quality is defined in a certain way.
I know,
and
but
it's not Arc specific, right? So for Arc, we'll have a certain cache quality. For Mark, we have a certain quality based on our definition of quality.
Yeah.
And as long as that measure of quality is useful,
You have to have a uniform. So you can't have a different.
You need to have the same definition.
The same definition, right?
So all the items you take, all the items in the cache at any given time,
and you can actually just by looking at the trace and be able to actually tell what the quality is.
Yeah.
No, but
right.
The reuse distance. More precise. So as I said, it can be larger than the cache, even though it's going to be used. It could be sitting there.
It could be infinite as well. Right?
Forget infinite.
Okay.
This is finite, but yet larger than it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
What is in the cache?
Sorry?
Which one you consider
so,
as in the cache? Because
since
you could have a memory of things that in the past in the actual
No. I mean, so the cache underlying algorithm is still Arc, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have T1, T2, and you could have things that are sitting in T2 for a little bit longer than they sit in T1.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. Now, those things may be reused quite a bit further down the road.
Okay.
But it's important, it's significant that it's there.
Okay.
And it adds to the quality. Whereas now you would simply be calling it as N just because the reuse distance is larger than N. But actually, it's contributing a lot more to the quality than.
Yeah, that's a different, more advanced notion of quality that you're referring to.
Right, so I don't know if you want to just cap it at N. That's my point.
It's very difficult if you don't cap it at N. Where do you cap it at?
Right, so.
The problem is the measure of quality that we're using is based on recency.
Yeah.
So we're talking about reuse distance.
Yeah.
We're talking about frequency of access once that item is re-accessed, right?
Exactly. So if you only look at one item
in
the future, versus you can look at the frequency of the items that appear in your in the future. That's
so what,
totally
I think, Giri, what you're saying is that the quality based on reuse distance may not be a good measure of quality.
No. I think it is a good measure of quality, except I'm bothered by you capping it at N.
In fact, what we are saying is that everything that's beyond N is we are upgrading its quality to N. Right? We are reducing its reuse distance.
But then you're also upgrading the ones that are never going to be used.
Right.
I'm saying that those are the valuable ones, and you're actually while you're upgrading the ones that. That are infinite.
What exactly will we use the quality for?
A lot.
The cache quality for? Mm-hmm. There are several things we're talking about cache quality. There are several purposes. One of the purposes is like if we have 20/20 vision of everything in the future,
yeah.
Find a metric
And that's the metric you're actually going to show. And, of course, by analyzing the trace and stuff like that, you will be able to grab one. And that is difficult to actually get. I think it's a different problem. And
yeah.
For this one, what we're trying to show is whether that reflects a certain state, right? So for example, if you're in stable state or I think we can sort of cut the corners a little bit, and showing whether if this is actually can represent have some distinction among the different state, and it has a reflection in the hit rate, and that's good enough for us to show that there is this, it's quality in that quantified kind of condition.
As long as we can come up with a metric that is uniform.
Because you can come up with a very arbitrary cache
yeah.
algorithm,
yeah.
right? And say, this item is important because I see far in the future this item is actually going to frequently access.
Right.
Suppose I would have this kind of a mechanism to predict that way. I mean, your quality has to be reflected in that case, and it's very difficult for you to reflect in that case. Right?
Yeah.
So items that, let's say you have a stream of unique accesses, all those unique access items will have a large cache, maybe infinite resistance. Then there are some items in the cache that are accessed beyond this unique access phase, but they are accessed again. They would also have a reuse distance of a large number, but not infinite. And if we cap everything to n, the cache quality becomes n, and we are not able to distinguish items that are being reused from items that are not being reused. That's the point you're trying to make. So yes, so I think cache quality is a lot more complicated than we did credit for.
We can just qualify it as reusable or recently based. Cache quality. And then in that case, that it's not for us to debate, because you could actually have a learning algorithm saying, I know this application, I know it's actually after a million accesses, it's going to come back after I judging with all the other factors, this is actually the item I hold tight. It could be, right? But that's
what OPD will do.
OPD, well, not this OPD, it's going to be a really OPD.
Yeah.
There.
Oh yeah, that this OPD also has limited sight into the future. Is that right, Steven? No, it has full 2020. It looks all the way into the future.
But it doesn't take into account.
It uses direct reuse, not unique reuse.
Oh, okay.
So the one thing that it's better than OPT right now is something that thinks about frequency too. Because right now OPT thinks about what is gonna be accessed most recently in the future, decides to filter or not depending on that. But you could say like, okay, this is gonna be used further in the future, but when I do use it, I'm gonna use it a million times in a row.
Wait.
Right?
The cost of keeping it is a oneness,
mm-hmm.
because you could not cache another item that got access prior to this futuristic green world item.
Right.
When this feature item does get access, you bring it in, and that's one miss as well.
Yeah. But it all depends. If the frequency of access of the next item is only once, access once, then you would say, is it cheaper to keep it in the cache, right? It all depends on the situation.
Not convincible.
So let's say that the item that you're bringing in,
yeah,
it's going to be used less further in the future than the item that the possible victim, but it's only used once.
Yeah.
And the other one is exactly right after, in the next access,
yeah,
five times in a row, or four times, or more than once.
Well,
Which one is better to keep?
Well, neither. I mean, either.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you keep the one that is going to be used more than once, right? Because
if you're talking about algorithms that always insert into the cache, then there is no difference.
Right, but I'm talking about OPT.
Oh, you know.
Or filtering OPT.
OPT filtering.
Yes. So OPT filtering will think, okay, this is going to be accessed more frequently in the near future than this item, and it's cheaper to keep it in the cache.
Mm.
But
like one-time reaccess. Let's say one-time reaccess, you will filter those out, the one-time reaccess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over items that are going to be reaccessed.
Yeah, okay. So this is a very long discussion.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going anywhere. So, so let's go back. Let's not go back to the plot. But one plot I think we should get is the right rate. For sure.
Okay, for that.
And then if we are able to come up with a reasonable definition of cash quality, then maybe that we'll work on that.
Also, the one that triggers the state.
Oh, the state hit rate.
You want to see the decision that you're making.
The state hit rate
cumulative
and the
whatever you call it. State hit rate.
Yeah, because it's the hit rate since the last state transition.
Oh,
I
see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since the last unstable state.
Oh, yeah. Since the last unstable, no, so unique access doesn't reset the state hit rate?
It doesn't need to, right?
It doesn't need to.
It
so you, so you could go into a unique access and go back to unstable and the hit rate continues to...
Well, no, when you go back to the unstable, then you reset it, right? So it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, the unique... So when you go into a unique access state, you don't use the state hit rate?
No.
What do you use then?
Sample hit rate.
You only use sample hit rate.
Either the sample here is over a threshold, or you are having a lot of hits in the filter.
But
so
do you update the state hit rate when you go into unique access?
I always update the state hit rate in every access I use.
So,
okay.
So it will be helpful if we pop those out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Let's pop those out so that we see whether those decisions are making sense.
So the last few comments, because I know we're getting out of time. I'm making progress in the module. The bio structure is super different from what it used to be.
Okay.
So I'm doing accordingly, making changes accordingly. That's why it's taking me some time, because I have to read more about the kernel to kind of understand what's different. There are some macros that are no longer used. Functions have different... They don't use some macros and things like that, so I was just checking that makes sense. Whatever the macro means and whatever the function does now, it makes sense. Things like that. But I'm making progress. It's just that I'm reading the kernel to kind of understand what's going on. I also interviewed with Gitaka.
Gitika.
Gitika. She's pretty cool. Hopefully she'll join.
Okay, yeah. She's still...
She seems super proactive.
I'll see you guys after then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, by the way, if you're free at 3 o'clock...
Today?
Mm-hmm. Then we have Ricardo Kohler doing a practice talk. Ricardo is on the line. No, he dropped out at some point. On caching. On host side caching.
Sure. Where is it?
It's going to be in the lab in 2:34.
Okay.
At 3 o'clock.
Okay. I have two papers to
review
that. I'll see whether, if the experiments go out smooth, I'll come join.
Okay, so Giri, do you want a reminder or?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll send you a reminder.
I should
be free. Okay.
All right.
So, by the way, 3 o'clock with Ricardo. Okay. All right, see.
Yeah.
Can you set up Skype and the computer?
Everything is set up there. We just need to plug his monitor to the... To the
right.
Yeah.
So we'll...
Although, be nice if we have the...
Microphone?
Microphone. Ricardo's microphone. May not.
Leo's microphone. Yeah. We'll borrow Leo's microphone.
Now maybe if we want to try and use some speakers.
Speakers?
I don't know if I'm... My computer's loud enough. Was it loud enough last time?
It was.
Okay.
I think it was, yeah.
Right.
I think the problem was the microphone.
Yes.
That was the biggest one, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So if you can set that up about 5 minutes prior to the talk, that would be great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. And I'll see you at 1 o'clock?
At 1 o'clock with Vasily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also worked on that.
Sounds good.
Was there not much results, but I mean, like, I found out a few things, but not very good ones.
The IBM.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Okay.